What up, everybody? You're now tuned into the true definition of a sports fanatic. I'm your host, Brandon Lampley. Finally getting a chance to get back at it. You know, had a little bit of a layoff. I was on the radio, though, and you can go listen to the show I did on the radio at 973thegame.com. And look for the Dream Day contest. You'll see my picture. Look for Brandon Lampley, and then I should have my show. And the platform they have it streamed through, I think it's called Spreaker. And you can go listen to the show I did. I did about an hour and, you know, talked about football, talked about my Jaguars, talked about college football, NBA, you know, I covered them, covered my bases, had a great time. I was a little nervous at first, but I mean, I loved every minute of it, and I could see a future in radio. But until the big wigs come calling, you guys stuck with me. And I will be here to bring you the best content that I possibly can on a week in, week out basis. Now, of course, the football season is upon us. We're at the doorstep. Training camp has started. They're putting the pads on, and time to get shaken, rattling, and rolling. Somebody's going to get their dome knocked loose. Going to make their brain shake. And now, of course, now that football is back, I might do shows maybe once or maybe like twice a week. You know, we'll see, depending on, you know, what goes on and, you know, how, you know, this is really depending on my time and how much I can fit into, you know, one session a week or whatever. You know, because I'm a somewhat busy man. You know, I'm just not sitting at the house, you know, eating Cheetos and playing PlayStation all day. I got goals, man. I got dreams, and I got to achieve it. But now that you're caught up on what's been going on in my life, let's talk some sports. And I have to start out this podcast and talk about how you have young black athletes who are different today. It's a different athlete today, whether you like it or not. And the way the owners and the leagues, the way they've had it, the way business has progressed and the model that they've set, they've made them this way. So if you don't like the way they are, blame the owners and the leagues, because they've made these kids this way. Now, I have no problem with how they are. And it's amazing that people get their panties in a bunch when it's a bunch of young, brash, unapologetic, rich black athletes who speak their mind, say what they want, and go and ball out. Dude, the hard hat and lunch pail athlete is gone. He's rare. You even got cats like Baker Mayfield at quarterback, who's cocky as they come. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's the times are different. It's no longer walk light and carry a big stick. No. It's pound the ground and carry an even bigger stick now. It's I'm letting you know I'm coming to hit you in the head. And then I'm going to promptly hit you in the head once I get there. That's what it's about nowadays. You got these old guys, these older crowds, talking about how they don't have no respect, how they flashy, how this and third. Dude, it does not matter. Why are you so pressed about it? These aren't your father's athletes. They're not. This started, I told you, we're in the age of the diva. This started a couple years ago. When social media took off, that is when this started. When the kid is a star before he even reaches your league, he's a star. Zion Williamson has been a star since he stepped on a high school basketball court. He was a star before Duke. He's a star before the NBA and playing for the Pelicans. He's a star. So the NBA has nothing to do with his stardom so far. Social media has created their stardom. They don't owe the leagues anything. They don't. Leagues owe them. The leagues need these kids to stay afloat, because if these kids don't come to their leagues, people will not watch. People are going to watch NBA more. People who are Zion fans who didn't really watch the NBA, guess what they're going to do now? They're going to watch the NBA because they want to watch Zion. So Odell Beckham has been under fire because he did a GQ article. And yes, last year it was Jalen Ramsey, my guy, who did the GQ article and came under fire. It seems like GQ knows what to say and who to handpick to get the most incendiary thing said to get eyes on their product. And I ain't mad at them. I'm trying to get eyes on my product. That's why they say all press is good press. Whether it's negative or positive, it's driving traffic and it's driving eyes to whatever you're selling so people can buy. So Odell got on this GQ article and he talked about how people were there to see him. He said, dude, we were 5-11 and we had primetime games. Why was that? Because they wanted to see Odell. Because he's a baller. That's what it is. Now, of course, you have people who've been fans of the Giants before Odell was even thought about. You know, they won 4 Super Bowls, of course. But for them to be relevant today, to get on primetime games today, it isn't because they had won 4 Super Bowls or because of, you know, there was a prestige franchise. No, it was because they had a young playmaker that people wanted to see. And he said it's like they created a monster, but now they can no longer control the monster. They want to tear the monster down. And I agree with that. They created a monster. That catch turned Odell into a monster. And people forget they lost the game. They lost that game to the Cowboys that night. I think they got blew out. Wasn't even close. But I don't even remember the final score. But you know what I remember? That 3-finger catch in the end zone while getting interfered with. That's what I remember. Now, of course, you have your New York fans who say they, you know, Odell ain't win nothing. And the only time he did go to the playoffs, he dropped balls and was partying in Miami on the yacht with blunts with Trey Songz and Justin Bieber. And yes, all of that is true. And him in a hotel room, I think in Paris somewhere, eating pizza with a white powdery substance. All of these things are true. But Odell is a superstar. He's worth the price of admission because people want to see him. Now, because the team didn't win, it is what it is. It is what it is. Yes, winning at the end of the day is the objective. But you want to bring in revenue and you want to put butts in the seats. And, of course, winning is the best way you do that. But if you can't win, you need something to market to bring people to the stadium, to get people to buy merchandise, to get people to buy into and represent and share your brand. That's what you need. And that takes me over to my guy down here in Jacksonville today, Jalen Ramsey, my guy. He showed up to training camp in a makeshift Brinks truck. You know, they pick up money and drop all money to ATMs. And they got money in them. And he had a well-known comedian named Ha Ha Davis, you know, as the guy driving the truck. And he had a megaphone, and he introduced Jalen. Jalen got out the back of the truck. And you see, look like, you know, fake money bags. And he get out of the truck. You know, he say, I'm ready to go. You know, time to get paid, time to get this money. And I loved it. It was creative. It was fun. And it was promotion for the new company he just joined. He was a Jordan Brand athlete, and now he signed with Adidas. And that's what it was for. It was to promote all of those things. And it was a clever way to do it. It was funny. It was fresh. But of course, people have issue with it. And you know, a lot of things, I notice a lot of things, people have issues with a lot of things simply because, not because it's wrong, it's against your religion or your morals or your values. They simply are against something or don't like it because they did not come up with it. It was not their idea. Therefore, a lot of times, people don't like it. And that's in all facets of life. That's from the business office to the playground. Think about it. Really, really think about it. When you come up with something, you had a good idea, and you know it's a good idea, or people don't like it, or they turn it down. Now, all the time, it's not, might not be a good idea, and it might not have been the best thing, but sometimes it was a good idea. But you know why you got turned down? You know why people didn't like it? You know why you got picked on the bully for? You know why? Because it was not their idea. That's how people are. People as a whole, I've heard it all the time, people as a whole are dumb. A person is smart, but people are dumb. It's like sheep. Wherever the flock go, they go. Whatever's hot, they go to it. That's what it's about. That's why all press is good press, because whatever is the flavor of the month, whatever's going to get the most attention at that time. That's why the kids doing these stupid things now. That's why you have all these challenges. That's why you got the girl licking the ice cream. You got people now messing with stuff in the store, messing with consumer products, doing things for likes and attention. But back to my man, Jalen Ramsey, you got people got their panties in a bunch. Talking about that's why he'll never win. Or he being flashy. He being this. He being that. Dude, he come from the school of Deion Sanders. Deion was fast. He was fly. He played like a champion. And he won. Guess what Jalen Ramsey is? Jalen is fast. Jalen is fly. Jalen plays like a champion. Now, we're still working on the winning part. We won in 2017. You know, we were a few minutes away from the Super Bowl. But they're going to get back to it. Because it takes more than one person. But if you don't think Jalen Ramsey is a baller, you don't think he plays at a championship caliber level, go back and look at the 2018 game against the Steelers. And you tell me you don't see a heart of a champion. And I'll show you a liar. Because that's what you'll be. You'll just be a hater at this point. So with all that said, let me ask you something. When did football become the same profession as, say, doctors, lawyers, law enforcement, military, judges, stockbrokers? When did it become that? You know, it's not that, and it has never been. So why do they feel the need to put these kids into a box and not let them be themselves and want them to fit your narrative and not their own? When did they start being held to a higher standard? Why? Because they're making more money now? They're in the entertainment business. That's what they're in. And they're playing a game. They're not at your local doctor's office, all tatted up with chains on, talking about, I'm the best doctor that ever lived. And I'm glad you came to me today, because whatever ailment you got is going to be cured today, because I'm just that raw. Or at your local firefighter at the firehouse. He's like, man, I don't know what's going to pop off today. But any fire that pops up today is getting extinguished, because I'm the greatest firefighter that ever lived. That's why I carry around my 12-foot hose. You don't see that. You don't see that. It's just like wrestling. Those guys, it's in the script. They thump their chest. They become different caricatures and different characters. I mean, like, look at Vince McMahon. Now, Vince McMahon isn't the best person on the planet. You can make an argument that he's probably one of the worst people. But Vince knew how to sell his product. Even he got in on the action. Dude, I seen a montage of every time he was out giving a speech or talking, and Stone Cold Steve Austin theme music started playing. And he sold it every time, like he was scared. Like he was so shocked Stone Cold was coming out, and he was in fear for his life. And you believed it. That's all these athletes are doing. Because now that Jalen talked his talk, now that Odell has talked all that, guess what? The spotlight on both of them in both their cities and both their teams is going to be white hot. People are going to watch. And you're going to watch for one or two reasons. You want to watch them to see if they succeed, or you're watching in hopes that they fail. But either way, guess what? You're watching. You giving me your eyes. You giving me your time. You giving me your viewership. That's what it's all about. Yeah, you got guys who were great athletes, but you always had guys who were great showmen too. Everybody's not Jerry Rice. That's cool. Yeah, he let his play talk for him. But I like Deion too. Deion talked the talk and he walked the walk. One of my all-time favorite is Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco. Kiss the baby. Child, please. There was nothing cooler than Chad. We like guys who talk. I love Richard Sherman. I like guys who talk. Take it even more old school. One of my favorites was John Randall. He never stopped talking. But what these guys did was, in conjunction with their talking, they backed it up on the field, and they were great athletes. Everybody can't be a choir boy. You're not going to win many games on a professional level or even a collegiate level with choir boys. Choir boys don't win games. They don't win championships. They don't draw ticket sales. They don't. No. You got to have the bad boys. You got to have the loud, the brash, the cocky. It's always good to have a nice mix. Because even in New England, even though they seem so pristine and they seem like they're in the ivory tower and they're better than. No, you got guys who talk that junk, who talk that talk. They just go about different ways of doing it. But everybody up there ain't quiet. Shoot, Brady's not quiet. If we're going to be real, Brady's not quiet. Brady thump his chest as much as the next man. And I love every minute of it. Now, he doesn't do it off the field that often. And when he does, you know, people might have a little issue with it. Like, I know him and Gronk did a video together. They going back to the Super Bowl, and he had P. Diddy music playing to it, that we ain't going nowhere, we ain't going nowhere, we can't even stop now, because it's Bad Boy for Life. And I thought it was awesome. I'm like, okay, look at Brady talking his talk, thumping his chest. But seriously, I said all of that just to say this. This is the current athlete. This is the new athlete. This is how they are. This is how they're going to be. Now, in order to get along, you got to go alone. So, you don't like them? Don't watch them. And to my understanding, you guys still like them. Whether you like them or you hate them, you're still watching, because the NFL is still the most viewed. Hands down, football is still king. And I don't see that changing no time soon. Now, we're going to stay in the NFL. We're going to go to Kansas City and talk about the electrifying and polarizing Tyreek Hill, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, Pro Bowler and All Pro. Now, Tyreek met with Roger Goodell and NFL front offices, and they decided that they weren't going to suspend him because he's under investigation because his son broke his arm. And he was under investigation, him and his wife under investigation. You know, they're trying to figure out how his son broke his arm. Now, initially, it was thought that Tyreek had something to do with it, but he was not in town when his son broke his arm. Then they thought the wife might have something to do with it, but they eventually deemed it as an accident. And then some video, some audio, actually, rather, leaked of him and this fiance, the mother of his child, who's pregnant with his second child, if I'm not mistaken. She recorded them in an airport, and she talked about how he chastised his son, his three-year-old, by telling him to hold his hands behind his back and then punching him in the chest. Now, Tyreek never confirmed nor denied that he did this, and she talked about how that his son is afraid of him. And his response was, yeah, and you should be afraid of me too. A word that's there to describe a female in derogatory terms. So with all that, the NFL did their investigations, and they didn't have anything concrete to where they could prove that he did any of those things. And so they decided not to suspend him. And when I heard the ruling, I was like, are you kidding me? You need to suspend him. He's been in trouble since he was in college. He got kicked out of Oklahoma State in 2014 with this same fiance when she was pregnant with the three-year-old son that they have together. He supposedly assaulted her, like threw her down some stairs and bit her and hit her in the stomach, allegedly. And that's why he got kicked out of Oklahoma State. So now, of course, she's going back on the things she said, saying that, you know, supposedly she lied, these things didn't happen. But, and you wonder why she do that, but that's easy because now he's up for a new contract. So it's in her best interest to, you know, to calm it down, quiet it down until he gets this money, you know, so she can get paid as well. So, but, you know, now I'm like, I understand why the league took the action that they took, because how can you prove it? How? You have nothing. You have no evidence. You got audio. You got an audio recording. That's it. That's all you have. And now I'm sure she's not willing to participate in the investigation. So what else do you have? How can you really suspend him? Now on the flip side, you have Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman Jaron Reed, who just got suspended for 6 games for an incident stemming from 2017. Now, there's not any details about what exactly went on, but of course, it was a domestic dispute. And just like with the NFL and its investigations, if the person that's not connected to the NFL doesn't want to cooperate, they have nothing. That's why Tyreek Hill is getting off, because if she don't cooperate, you have nothing. Now, with Kareem Hunt, the girl who's in the video that he kicked, she didn't cooperate with the NFL. But if TMZ didn't get a hold of that video and release it, they wouldn't have had nothing either, and Kareem Hunt would still be a Chief. So now Jaron Reed's accuser has cooperated with the NFL. Now, in Jaron Reed's defense, the incident from 2017, he was not arrested nor charged with anything. Now, who knows what might have happened? You know, he put out a statement saying he disagrees with the league's the punishment, and he was, I think, denied his appeal last Friday. But that's why the NFL investigating things, they need to leave it to the proper authorities. They do, because if the person doesn't want to cooperate, they have nothing. So just because this person who allegedly had an issue with Jaron Reed cooperates with the NFL and they deem that it's worthy, that whatever this person said was worthy enough for him to be suspended 6 games, and then because Tyreek Hill, the accuser, doesn't cooperate cooperate with you and doesn't give you anything, you don't suspend him because you have nothing, the system is flawed. That's why they have to be prepared to strike. Players have to be willing to miss games because they have to take the power from Roger Goodell and the NFL. They have to. They've given him entirely too much power, and you need to miss games in order to get your demands met. That's why the owners have been getting off, because players are not willing to miss games. And I understand you want to miss a check. I get it. I understand. Somebody can come to me now. They could form a union here at my job now and talk about, hey, we want you to strike and be with us and not get paid for about 2 months while we try to hash out to get better pay, better benefits, better this, better that. And yo, I'm gonna be looking at you like, I support the cause, and you know, I want all those things for me and, you know, my family, but these bills ain't gonna pay themselves, and I need to get this check now. So I understand. I do. I get it. I understand. But if you want your demands met, got to sacrifice. And that's where the players union and those top players in the league who are making all the money, that's where with the guys on the bottom of the rosters, y'all got to have some kind of plan for them, some contingency plan, something in place for those guys, because those are the guys that's making the biggest sacrifice. Guys that are on the bubble, who are trying to get into the league, who are not, don't have good contracts, who are year-to-year players, those are the guys that are taking majority of the risk. And you need to have something in place for those guys, some incentive in place for them to do so. Because if you don't, man, if I'm a young and up-and-coming player and I'm trying to make it and trying to make a team, I don't want to hear that. I'm not striking nothing. I'm trying to get on this team. I'm trying to get this money. I'm trying to get mama out the Jets and have a move on up to the east side with the Jeffersons. That's where we want to go. Now I'm going to stay in the NFL, but talk about two current players. Well, one I know for sure as is holding out of training camp, and that's down here in Jacksonville. That's Yannick Ngakoue, our star defensive end, one of the top pass rushers in the entire NFL. And Ezekiel Elliott for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if he's confirmed to have held out so far, but, you know, it's in talks right now. Well, for now, squash all that. I just read an article saying that they expect him to report on time, but he still has a contract dispute with them nonetheless. Now, I'll start here in Jacksonville with the situation I'm most familiar with in my beloved Jaguars with Yannick Ngakoue. Pay the man. Okay, that's all I had to say about that. Let's move on to Ezekiel Elliott. No, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, pay him. Pay the man. Dude, he's been playing. Oh, he was a third round pick, and he's in the last year of his deal. I think he's going to make like $2.2 million. And of course, yes, that's a lot to a guy like me, but for his skill set and what he is and his stardom in the league and his production, that's not a lot of money. That's a bargain for the Jaguars, and they need to pay him. He has basically 30 sacks over his last three seasons. He leads the league in forced fumbles. I think he's top five in tackles for loss. Now, some people say he's kind of slight of frame, and he is. And he doesn't play the run particularly well. But guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't miss games. He plays every single game, and he plays it at a high level. Even last year, where he had to adjust his game because he was getting more double teams, so the sack numbers weren't through the roof last year. But once he figured it out, he was able to have a huge impact. The dude is unblockable, and they need to pay him. The guys who are making more money, Frank Clark, D. Ford, DeMarcus Lawrence, you can only make a case of really one of them being better than him. And I said make a case. And that's DeMarcus Lawrence. Now, DeMarcus Lawrence, D-Law is a beast. But I could say that Yannick is a cleaner player. His game is just cleaner. And I think he might be overall be a better pass rusher. DeMarcus Lawrence might be overall better player, but Yannick Ngakoue is the better pass rusher to me. And they need to pay him. And I saw a tweet, and I can't remember who it was by. If I ever find it, I got to shout him out. But seeing the guy said that all of the goodwill that the Jaguars built up in 2017 by being on the doorstep of the Super Bowl and, you know, just the euphoric feeling that was going on in this city, they're burning it to the ground right now. That's what they're doing. You paid Funky behind Blake Bortles, and you're not paying Yannick Ngakoue? You got to be kidding me. Since when did the price of Kaká go up? I'm not understanding. We talking about family dollar versus he went to Jared's. Come on now. And this is all on Tom Coughlin. When I did my radio show on 97.3 The Game, I talked about Tom Coughlin. I wasn't nice. I did it on local radio. A lot of people heard it. I wasn't nice. And I'm not going to be nice because I'm sick of Tom Coughlin. That old curmudgeon, old man yelling at cloud. Oh, that's over with, man. Nobody wants to hear that. Their decisions have gone from bad to worse. And it's going to be time to clean house soon if they don't get it together. Word is that the players don't like him. And word is he doesn't like Jalen Ramsey. And if you don't like Jalen Ramsey, I don't like you. Jaguars, please do not mess this up. You got to pay Yannick Ngakoue. You reward your star players. That's what you do. They rewarded Brandon Linder, our center. Before he was even out of his rookie deal, they gave him the top center contract in the entire NFL. And he wasn't even the top center in the league. They paid him, you know, based off of what he did and his projection of what he's going to do in the future. That's how they paid him. And that's how they need to pay Yannick Ngakoue. Yannick is 24 years old. He's already one of the top defensive ends in the entire NFL. Pay him. Oh, and pay Jalen Ramsey too when it's time. Tom Coughlin, if you let Jalen Ramsey slip through your fingers and you allow him to go on to another team and he go win titles somewhere else, I'll never forgive you. Never. Now on to Dallas with Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I'm all about the player getting paid. That's what I'm about. Because without the players, it doesn't go. It doesn't work. There's nothing to watch. There's no revenue coming in. There's nothing to be had. There's nothing to gain without players playing on the field. So I am always going to be pro player over organization. Because the organization, they're making billions of dollars. That's why I never understand fans that side with organizations over the players. Oh, and I can't forget about the shaming tactics. The Jaguars, today, they released contracts of the contract details from negotiations with Yannick Ngakoue. Now, how do you think those details got out? Yannick's camp didn't put it out there. They have nothing to gain by putting it out there. So that let me know the Jaguars brass leaked it to the media so they could put it out there for public consumption. And all it is a shaming tactic to show fans, say, hey, look what we're willing to give him. 19 mil per year, I think over a 4-year period, and like 50-something guarantees. And look how greedy he's being. He's not even taking what we're giving him. Can't you see that this is a lot of money that we want to pay Yannick? And he threw it back in our faces. Shame him into signing this contract for us. Listen, bro, Players don't care about what the fans think. It's not going to work. Because one look at that contract, and it's already below guys that he's better than. So, come back to the table with a better deal. So now on to Ezekiel Elliott, who he has 2 years left on his deal. Yeah, because he was in the draft with Jalen. And he has 2 years left. He has this year and a fifth-year option next year, which I think has already been picked up by the Cowboys, just like Jaguars picked up Jalen Ramsey's fifth-year option. And because they were picked in the top 10, that fifth-year option, that salary, is the top 10 average of the top 10 salaries at their position. And same thing, Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon for the Los Angeles Chargers is holding out as well because he wants a new deal. And I understand why they want new deals. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell. Running backs have a short shelf life. You got to get it while the getting is good. Strike while the iron is hot. You have to. Because what teams are starting to do, I heard the term, they're draining the shot clock. Is what they're doing. They're draining the shot clock. So basically what they're doing, they're using them up, giving them carry after carry after carry after carry, screen pass after screen pass after screen pass. That's what they're doing. And so they're going to use them up until, so they have them on, the city pick them in the first round, you have them for 5 years. He played those 5 years. Then you franchise him the 6th year. Franchise him the 7th year. And after that 7th year, let him walk. Because you done put a load of carries on his body. And at that time, let's see, would it be 21, 22 coming out of college? So now he's 28, 29. Nobody paying 30-year-old running backs, running backs that are close to 30. They're not getting paid. It's not happening. Not no big deals anyway. So now, what's my incentive to continue to go out there and bust my hump knowing that that's what you're trying to do to me? No, you need to give me a new contract because I see what you're doing. Melvin Gordon, I see what you're doing. That's why Le'Veon Bell didn't play a whole season because his camp saw what the Steelers were doing. Melvin Gordon, people seeing what the Chargers are doing. Now, Ezekiel Elliott, he's seeing what the Cowboys are doing. And, of course, the running back's value, it has spiked the last couple of years, but now it's starting to go back down. They don't value running backs like they used to anyway. Because what a lot of teams have gone to is the running back by committee, where you have 3 and 4 backs and a rotation of backs that touch the football. And that way you can unplug and plug other guys in into your rotation. And, of course, the importance of that is the offensive line. That's like in Dallas right now. Their offensive line is the highest paid in the league. Now they were injured last year, so they underperformed. But now they're going to be better next year because they're going to be healthy. And you feel like with a great old line, you can plug anybody behind that line. That's why when you talk about top running backs of all time, you don't hear a lot of people say Emmitt Smith's name. Now, of course, yes, Emmitt is one of the top backs of all time. He's the rushing leader in NFL history, of course. But when you talk about top backs of all time, a lot of people don't bring him up because he had such an amazing offensive line. And they feel like you could have put Joe Blow back there and they could have did work behind that line. He just got the most out of it. When you take a guy like Barry Sanders, who's on terrible, terrible Detroit teams, and he was one of the greatest running backs that ever lived and still produced. Same with Sweetness. Sweet Feet, Walter Payton. Was on some of those Bears teams were awful. But Walter was still great. So that's why in Dallas you feel like it's the offensive line. And so, you know, you guys seen a lot of publications saying don't pay Ezekiel Elliott. He's not as valuable as people think he is. You need to pay Dak Prescott, the quarterback. Now, if I'm Jerry Jones, the owner, I'm paying Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. I can go find me another running back. I won't be disrespectful to Zeke, because Zeke is one of the top running backs in the entire NFL. Don't get it twisted. He's good. I wish Leonard Fournette was even on the same planet as Ezekiel Elliott right now, as far as being one of the top backs in the league. If we're going by order of importance, Dak is more important to me right now. My quarterback is more important. So I understand, Zeke, get your money. Melvin Gordon, I understand. Get your money. That's why Le'Veon up in New York right now. Yeah, he left some money on the table, of course. But that was always the plan from the beginning, was to leave money on the table so he could get out of that situation with the Steelers. That was always the plan. And I feel like if that's always was always the plan, then it didn't backfire on him and he didn't lose. Because he lost money, people say he lose. He didn't lose. This was the plan. The plan was to leave money on the table so he could get his freedom. Work to perfection. Because guess where he is? On a new contract, in a new city, ready to light the league on fire once again. And remember, this is the only leverage that players have. So go ahead and get your money, black man. Oh, I can't forget also today, Titans tackle Taylor Lewan is facing a 4-game suspension for taking a supplement that contained a banned substance. It contained a substance that had been banned by the NFL. And he took it, says he took it unknowingly. But I really don't care about that, because I think Taylor Lewan is a heel. And if you ever get a chance, Google Taylor Lewan and his time at Michigan. And he was there with a kicker who was his roommate. A kicker that allegedly sexually assaulted a young lady. And Taylor Lewan was his roommate. And just look up that story and see what Taylor Lewan said in response to his roommate sexually assaulting a student on campus. Just so you know, you're not going to like it. So let's move on. We're going to switch gears. I'm going to talk a little bit of NBA before we wrap this thing up. And I just want to talk about Magic Johnson. And over the last 2 days, Magic Johnson has been catching a lot of flack, because reportedly it's because of him that Kawhi Leonard didn't go to the Lakers, or he hurt the chances that the Lakers had at landing Kawhi Leonard. Now, me personally, I call BS. I do. I don't believe it. You know why? Because in order for someone to hurt your chances at something, that something has to have had the possibility of actually happening. And I don't think there was any chance that Kawhi Leonard was going to play for the Lakers. I don't believe it. And him, his camp, none of them can convince me of that, because he even said it himself. He was looking for another star to play with. And whether that was going to be in Toronto or with the Clippers, we always knew he wanted to go back home because he's a California kid. So he called up KD. KD said, nah, I'm going to Brooklyn. Called up Kyrie. Said, Kyrie, what's up? Uncle Drew said, nah, man, I'm going to team up with my boy KD in Brooklyn. We're going to wear these Kuji jerseys, get swifty, and look fly. And might drop a bucket or two on these fools' heads. Then he called up Paul George. He said, hey, PG, I know you are, and Paul George was in California at the time. He met up with him, called him up, said, hey, let's meet up. I want to talk to you. I got a proposal. And they talked about teaming up. Paul George representatives called Oklahoma City, told him he was requesting a trade. And the Clippers moved heaven and earth to get Paul George to the Clippers for Kawhi Leonard. Because Kawhi didn't sign with the Clippers until the trade for Paul George was finalized. And Toronto even caught wind of what the Clippers were doing, and they tried to trade for him. They had a package, supposedly, that had Siakam going to Oklahoma City with, you know, other players and picks, and they were going to bring Paul George and try to get Russell Westbrook in Toronto to team up with Kawhi Leonard. But they say that never really gained any traction. And, of course, the Clippers ended up with Paul George, and that's what Kawhi Leonard signed. Now, of course, they met with the Lakers. They met with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. Then they had another meet with Magic, and they entertained the Lakers. They did, because it's a great destination to be. Besides it being the Lakers, you have LeBron and Anthony Davis there. You go there, the only thing that stops you from winning the title next year is health. That's it. None of the teams in the NBA can stop you. That's like a guaranteed chip, at least two over the next 3 years. Easy. But he didn't want to do that. He's never wanted to do that. He didn't want to team up with LeBron, and I get it. You want your own show. Got it. That's fine with me. But to say Magic Johnson hurt the chances of the Lakers landing you, I mean, I'm sure it didn't help that when he did meet with Magic, and the reason, you know, he hurt the chances because when he met with Kawhi's camp, details about their meeting was leaked to the media, and they didn't like that. And I understand that. They want to be discreet, be very secretive, play things close to the vest. I get that. I'm all for it. Don't let them know your next move. Used to hear that all the time. And really, it's a lot of franchises should take a page out of that book, because teams leak information all the time. And that's across all sports. The teams leak information. Players don't leak a lot of information. Agents don't leak all the information. Teams leak information, especially if that information is going to make them look good, make them look better, or help defend them. They're going to leak that information. Look at the Brooklyn Nets, for example. KD had announced that he was going to announce where he was going to play basketball next year on his network. And I think like an hour before he was supposed to announce it, Adrian Wojnarowski announced where KD was going. How did Woj get that information? How? You know it ain't come from KD camp, because he was announcing it on his network. Who told him that? The Brooklyn Nets. That's who told him. So I understand Kawhi's camp and their frustration with that. But don't make it seem like yo, I was coming to La La Land. I was going to be a Laker. I was going to rock that purple and gold. We going to win titles with LeBron and AD. It was signed, sealed, delivered. And I was ready to sign. But Magic was running his mouth to the media. And I don't like the way that sit with me. So I'm going to disregard all the talent that's already there on the roster and most likely guaranteed chips over the next 3 years. And I'm going to sign with the Clippers because Magic opened his mouth. Please. Don't believe that crap for a second. And if we're being honest, let's be honest. I just thought about this. Had a little light bulb come on. I'm like Braxton off of Jamie Foxx show. Ah. Who's to say Kawhi's camp didn't use Magic Johnson? Come on now. Ah. Yeah. Think about it now. Come on. Anytime Magic does anything, it's in the news. And details about it gets reported, whether he leaked it or people around him leaked it. So people know when you talk to Magic Johnson, especially something like that, details about it is probably going to come out. So who's to say they didn't use magic to put information out into the media that threw people off to what Kawhi and his camp were going to do. Because all of the top NBA aficionados was dead wrong. All of them. Dead wrong. They didn't know where he was going. They couldn't tell you anything about the list. They didn't know what teams were on the list, what order they were in, what kind of paper the list was written on, whether it was computer paper, it was a pamphlet, leaflet, a notebook, nothing. They couldn't tell you anything. So that leads me to believe that they gave information to Magic knowing that it was going to be put out in the media. But hey, that's just a conspiracy theory for me. But ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again. I got to end the show. Man, I feel so good doing this again. Feel like it's been so long since I put a show out, which I have another show recorded that I have not edited and put it out, and I will be dropping it at the same time as this one, so there'll be two to listen to. You know, just been lazy and hadn't really done it, and I need to get my social media pages up and make pages for the podcast and get those working as well. But man, it feels so good to be back, to be doing this again. I mean, I feel like, dude, my mic is literally melting right now because I spit hot fire. I spit hot fire. If anybody can tell me where that reference is from, you get a free year supply of groceries from your local Food Lion here in Jacksonville, Florida. But please remember to like, subscribe, and share. Hopefully I got some new listeners out there after, you know, being on the radio and promote my podcast. Soon and very soon, I'm going to get a few interviews on here, get some people to join me. We're going to talk sports, talk football, because college football is coming up as well, along with NFL. I'm going to get some guys on here so we can have a nice little back and forth. I'm going to continue to put out, you know, superb content for you guys. Remember, you can listen on CastBox, YouTube, Spotify, Google Play, Radio Public. Go listen on all of those platforms and share with everybody. But until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.